You need more hockey news, and Locked On NHL is here to fill the gap. It's our daily podcast on everything happening in the league. Subscribe and listen each day for a quick look at the biggest stories and game recaps each day. Subscribe to Locked On NHL today, wherever you get your podcasts.
Your Locked On Sabres, your daily podcast on the Buffalo Sabres. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
My name is Joe DiBiase, and I experienced my first concert since COVID ended everything last year, yesterday.
Nice. And I'm Jordan Anskin. I found out that in some states, video games are not an escape from real life. Because I found out, I don't know how much stock you put into those maps where they say this is every state's favorite whatever.
Okay.
But in Nebraska, Kansas, and Iowa, the favorite video game apparently is the Farming Simulator.
The Farming Simulator in where? Nebraska,
Kansas, and Iowa. Why? So my joke was, I guess video games aren't always an escape from real life.
Wait, you tweeted that?
Yeah.
I need to retweet that. That is absolutely worth a retweet.
It's just wild. Like, why would you want to play that game if you literally live on a farm?
Yeah.
Just go do it. Or is it like training? Like, does like the dad like send the kids in and he buys the kids like a PS4 and says, you will learn to farm.
This is how, yeah, it's training. It's really a training simulator.
Yeah. Because I know the army, like sometimes they have like the airplane simulators and stuff like that, or the Air Force has like that. And I wonder if like a farmer does that with, all right, this is how you do it. Hey, I'm not a farmer. I don't know the term.
Bale hay. I was just going to say water the crops, but I guess everything's, as long as you say crops, I think you're good over plants or whatever. By the way, it's the Locked On Sabres podcast. Not a lot to get to Sabre wise today. We got some funny stuff maybe in the back half relating to them. But yeah, it's slow season. It's August 6th. We kind of knew that this was the case. And some Twitter nonsense revolving around Jack Eichel that we'll get to a little bit later. But we are both big Bills fans. I cover the team for WGR and then the pregame host during game days. So I'm very plugged in with the team. And Jordan has been going to games since I can remember and has been one of the biggest fans since I can remember. Bills like an elementary large, school.
They are a large part of my life. I think far too much than a sports team should be. Bills, I mean, besides the Sabres, I mean, the Sabres are like the same thing. I mean, Sabres, you know, I cover them with this podcast, but like the Bills are influence my day-to-day life a little bit too much, I would say.
Do you like not having to cover them, by the way? Like, this is like a little peek behind the wall here. Like, I've found it's been kind of up and down for me. I don't know whether I like covering the teams I grew up rooting for, because there are times when it kind of takes the fandom out of it, I guess is how I want to put it. And I don't always love that. And I love covering the team. I have like the most fun job in the world, so I'm not complaining about it by any means, but there are times where I'd be like, yeah, I just wish I could just step back and just be an emotional fan and not care about the logic or anything like that.
I think that's true. There are things that, you know, you'd probably like to say about the Sabres that you can't. And I think that they're like, cause I used to cover Wake Forest when I went to college and like the games were a lot less fun when you're in the press box. You have to have the press box etiquette and all that stuff. And it's like, I mean, it's cool being there and like experiencing it from that end. But like, there were a lot of times that I wish I, you know, could go to the tailgate, go to the bleachers and all that stuff. So yeah, like the Bills, I do kind of like that. It's just like, I get to be a fan. I get to tweet fan stuff, especially on a day like today. But Like that's, it's just like Sabres, you don't really get that. Like I have to like you know, constantly be like, okay, thinking about what the fans want me to think, or not even that.
I know what you're driving at, though. I know what you mean,
like,
though.
What the fans like. What, like, you can't hear. Just be like, can't just like ream out the Sabres on Twitter.
No, we can't like make, we can't make fun of like certain players even. Like,
and you also like, can't be awful. A super big, you also can't be a super big fanboy of the Sabres. Like when they do really well, you have to kind of temper it all, because otherwise then it's like, oh, you're just a mouthpiece for the team. So you kind of have to weigh those two things when you're reporting. Whereas, being a fan, you can kind of just let the emotions flow.
Yeah. So that's kind of this kind of a lead in to the big news in Buffalo sports today, which is obviously that Josh Allen has signed the biggest contract in Buffalo sports history,
by
a
far.
6-year extension for $258 million. Yeah, by far. I think Marcel Darius' contract, like $100 million, was second. And there's no Sabre contract that comes even close. Maybe Eichel's at $80 million would be the one. So I don't know, like, I'm giving you an open forum here because I get to talk about it on WGR. I don't know. Doesn't it feel like they did great here? I know it's the second most money in the league behind Patrick Mahomes, but everything I'm seeing about the structure now and just the, I mean, you don't even have to go much further than just Eichel or Allen's story to know that they did a great job here.
Yeah, my first reaction, I think I tweeted it, was, I mean, what an amazing story Josh Allen is. Like, just what going through, like, he was at a small school in high school, Fireball, California. Then he went to junior college because he couldn't get any looks out of high school, and he couldn't get any D1 offers. So he went to junior college. Then after junior college, he only got two D1 offers, Eastern Michigan and Wyoming. And he worked his way from that to get being 7th overall pick with all this media firestorm. He was one of the most controversial prospects of all time. And what is this, like, year? What is this year? Year three, year four?
Year four.
This is going into year four, right?
Yep.
And he's now making $260 million. Like, that's as storybook as you can get with an athlete. It's one of the main reasons why I like Josh Allen so much, is that he's not like, he never was the five-star, like nothing really came that easy to him. And he had to work for it, even in the pros. Like, he went to the league and he was not great. And he had to work from rookie year to now to earn this contract. I mean, after his rookie year, I don't think anybody would have expected the Bills to be paying $260 million for this guy. So that was my first reaction. But also I think, yeah, the Bills did a good job. Like, in the NFL, it's even contracts that are this astronomical, teams can find a way out of them. Yep. They just can, they always can do it. Seems like the Bills have some fail saves in there, but I also think, like, I just don't think they're going to need it because I believe that Josh Allen is that good. So I like to brag about this, but I thought that way when he was getting drafted. I just thought, like, the talent's there, and as long as you have the good coaching, you have everything in place, and the player has that work ethic to get better. Like, that's the type of guy you would want rather than the safer options.
Right.
But yeah, like, I think I just think it's like, it's a great story, and it's great for Buffalo because, I mean, people are like, oh, now we can't pay all these guys. Like, that is a good problem to have, is to have the franchise quarterback that you're willing to pay money for. Like, that's how you win in the NFL. I think Josh Allen said it best when he's like, they're paying me now to win some championships. Like, yeah, not just one. Like, they're paying him now to compete to win multiple championships.
You would take one. Of course, you have the
Chiefs, but I would take one and run. That's like the Cubs. Like, the Cubs fire sailed their entire team in baseball this year. Like, Cubs fans are still happy because they won. They won. Otherwise, if they didn't win, it would be like the most miserable moment in Cubs history. But it doesn't matter because they won. They have that banner, and that banner stays up forever.
Does it change for him now with the money now being thrown in it? That now that he's going to get I mean, he was already getting some respect, but definitely a lot fewer than a lot of guys drafted as high as he was. And a lot more jokes made about guys like, or about Allen versus like other top 10 quarterback selections. But does it change now? Now that everybody will view him as an MVP candidate, as one of the best quarterbacks in football, and now that he'll have that $43 million number attached to him at the hip, does it change for him at all? Because we can make a Saber comparable here. I think that changed with Eichel. I think the moment Eichel's contract showed up and you could label him a $10 million player and not just Jack Eichel and like this prodigy, I think opinions for some change. I don't want to be beholden to that. I feel like I do a pretty good job of not being beholden to the dollar figures when it comes to players, but some people do.
Yeah. I mean, it amps up the pressure, I think, like just naturally. I mean, now everybody looks at you as, all right, you got to earn that money that you're getting paid, rather than, you know, Allen playing above his rookie contract. It's a little different. I don't think it's going to phase like certain guys like Jack Eichel. I don't think his play changed at all. I think the frustration level of the team because they couldn't build around him. Like, I don't think it had anything to do with him. Like, I don't think the money, if a player is that good, the money's not going to affect the play. It's the guys that like get the money that they're not really deserved that you usually find struggles with that. Yeah, I don't know. Were you looking for like a different answer?
No. I think that's the right answer. I think, you know, like some things inherently will happen. Like if he has a year where he struggles, he will not get the benefit of the doubt that he once did. And especially, I mean, that's not just money though. That's just like what comes with going from like a young
and
player.
Fans love doing the, oh, this guy gets paid so much. What happened to being a team guy? Like, it's like, okay. Like,
right.
You're going to take less money for the betterment of your office, like, come right. on.
Well, like, I think that might happen with Josh though, because he signed now for $43 million, but that TV money is not kicked in yet. So it's a 6-year extension. It keeps him here through 2028. I don't know, man, 5 years from now, that's not going to be one of the highest paid quarterback contracts in the league.
But it's also, and I think that's why I think he wanted maybe a 6-year instead of like what did Mahomes get? 10?
Mahomes was like 10 or 12 even. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I think Allen's probably thinking too, like, okay, 6 years from now, I'll be able to get like, if I'm still really good, be able to get like 50 mil or 50 something mil. 60. Right. Like, yeah. Something crazy. Like, I think it's a good deal for both sides. Like it's the Bills, like Bean probably found a good way to manage the cap, and I trust the management that they're going to be able to like pay all their other guys, or all the guys that they would want to pay. I just think like the shorter term also benefits Josh. Like, I don't think he's going to go anywhere. I think he's going to be the Bills quarterback for his entire career. That's just usually the way the NFL goes. You don't really see super good quarterbacks leaving. You see guys like Kirk Cousins leave. You don't usually see the great ones go.
Kirk's not super good.
He's good at throwing screens.
I love Kirk. Kirk's my guy. I'll defend him.
Why? Is it completion percentage?
I always
percentage?
Like Kirk. No, did he? Man, he's always.
I think someone listed him. Was it Pro Football Focus listed him as the most accurate quarterback in the NFL?
Yeah, well, because he is very accurate down the field. He doesn't do it a lot, but. Like,
because in 4 seconds, if there's pass run, he's dead.
I know, but like, I don't know. Stephon Diggs was like the best deep ball passer in the league 2 years ago with Cousins. And last year, Justin Jefferson was like top 10. Like, I don't know. I think he gets way too much criticism for his play, at least, not the other thing.
He's my favorite quarterback to watch. I mean, we'll get some Saber stuff, I'm sure, at the end here. But he's my favorite quarterback to watch because when he gets sacked, it always looks like he gets like sent to like a different dimension. Like, it's like, you don't see him anymore. Like, he's just, because he's like, I don't know why, but Kirk Cousins is the number one quarterback I rank. Is like every sack looks like he's like off the face of the earth.
Yes. All right. So good for Josh Allen. I'm sure plenty more Bills extension talk with Allen from our buddy Joe Marino over at Locked On Bills. So be sure to check that out. He recorded an emergency episode right after the signing happened. So he's got some fresh content for you there. Again, we kind of mentioned at the top, and we've been talking football here because there's not a lot to talk about Saber-wise. We will have some fun stuff all across the network coming throughout this month. So it's not going to be many more of these where we're kind of primarily focusing on something else. We're kind of putting together this like poll across the Locked On NHL network with all of our hosts, all 30. Well, there's more than 32 of us because a lot of shows double up kind of like we do. So all of us are going to be voting on the top 75 players in the league. And I'm trying to remember the significance of that. I think it's maybe 75 days to the season from when it's going to come out. But I was already thinking about this. How many Sabres are going to end up in that top 75? Like, if especially like with me and you, when me and you go through and we just like, it's going to be like a sliding poll thing, I think, that we're going to end up doing online. How many Sabres are we going to have in our top 75? I was wondering if the answer might be zero.
Honestly. For NHL players, top 75. Well, NHL players?
Yeah, never mind. Eichel would be in there and he's just technically still a Saber. So, right?
Yeah. We get one.
Not Darlene. He's not a top 75 NHL.
So to be top 75.
I haven't thought about it for a second, by the way.
That wouldn't have anybody. But
yeah.
But even Detroit would have like Dylan Larkin, right? He would be a top 75 player.
I think this is, again, I've not dug into this at all. So like it's all gut. And when you say Dylan Larkin, my instinct is, yeah.
He's top 75. Ottawa might not have one.
Ottawa's good. Ottawa might have zero. Who would Ottawa?
Tim Stutzel's not that good yet.
Brady Tkachuk.
Yeah.
It's maybe a little early for him though. He has not
both
put up
them. The both of them. I think could like maybe live like 2 years from now. I could see both of them in there.
Right.
But like they're not there yet. Yeah. So the Sabres have Eichel, who's not really a Sabre right now.
Well.
He is in every sense of the word except for like reality.
would they be the betting favorite for him to play his next game for?
Oh gosh, I would.
If you were setting betting odds, would the Sabres be the favorite for him to play his next game?
I mean, I guess for Vegas purposes, for gambling purposes, yeah. But I would not want that bet. I would not take that bet.
So maybe you would consider them the favorite, but you would say it would be an underdog versus the field.
The field would probably be a favorite. Okay. But I think if it was just Sabres or the field, I think the field would be favored.
Okay, but if it was like Sabres and like Ducks.
If they're splitting up all the teams, the Sabres would probably out of everybody.
I think that's probably right. I'm just saying though, this is kind of what I wanted to get into here. This maybe are like our core Sabres meat of the day here, because what was the Sabres this week? It was Jack Eichel is skating at the Bruins practice facility, not through the Bruins. It was just a bunch of NHL guys that happened.
That was eerie. Boston. That was eerie. To watch just
the,
like
the Bruins logo in the background,
big Bruins logo in the background.
Yeah,
I mean, there's no chance they trade him to the Bruins, but no, like
none. Well, but can I say this though? Not on the Bruins. Am I saying well? He was wearing a Sabre practice jersey, and the fan in me wants to crawl out of the guy who covers the team here and yell, "Hey, the guy doesn't hate the organization that much to where he pulled that practice jersey out of his bag." And he didn't think, I hate this logo. I'm never putting this logo on again.
Because he could have wore just like a blank uniform. Yeah, but there's he would not be allowed to wear any other teams.
No, but I mean, as someone that has skated like a million times in my life, I mean, I have a million practice jerseys. He could have thrown any practice jersey on.
Yeah. True. Like,
Should I not make anything of that, though? Should I just move on?
It's probably just the jersey that he had.
But again, But the only point I want to make is he doesn't hate the team that much to where he's sitting in the locker room. He's lacing his skates up. He's putting the elbow pads on. You know, he's getting everything ready to go. He's got the cup on everything. He's got all the equipment on. Then he reaches into his bag. What's next? All right, I got to get a jersey out. And he reaches into his bag, and there's the Sabre jersey. he doesn't go, you know, grab it and think, never putting this logo on again, and throws it to the side, puts on a white blank jersey. He goes, all right. And he puts it on over top, doesn't maybe think anything of it. And he's, you know, he's fine. So all I'm meaning to say is he doesn't detest the organization and the team so much to where he'd never put the logo on him again. Because he did this week.
Who do you think he hates most in the organization? Kevin Adams? The team doctor?
I wanted to name a really bad player here, but he's like not played with any of these players. Zemgus Girgensons is the perfect answer. This guy's coming back.
you signed up for what?
You've got to be kidding me. Zemgus, you sent Sam away, but I still got Zemgus.
Another year of Cody Eakin? Why?
So anyways, I don't know. He, by the way, that video, you know, he looked fine. There's no contact, I know, but he looked fine, right? Like, I didn't notice anything.
That will be, I think, the ultimate test is the, like, can he take a hit? And
obviously, yeah.
I mean, I would say no surgery probably, it would probably be wildly painful. I don't know the injury. I don't know. I have no idea what it feels like. I hope I never have to know. Mm-hmm. But, I imagine that he's probably not even close to being cleared for contact.
Right.
Yes, he did look good skating.
And the most intense thing he probably did in that like 30-second clip was a one-timer from the left hash mark, kind of where he usually stands on the power play. And the one-timer looked natural. And that's a movement with your body, with your spine and your neck to where you're twisting. Like you're starting off, he's a righty. So he's starting off with his hips kind of facing right and he's opened them up. And then to get as much torque on the shot that he's getting, when he's following through, I mean, everything's moving there. Your neck is moving, your hips are moving, your back is moving, and it looked effortless for him. So I'm not here to tell you that he doesn't still have the herniated disc. I don't think they're making as big a stink about the situation if they don't think there's still something wrong. It's a complete guess, pure speculation, but if games started tomorrow, I can't believe he'd be cleared for contact. Some type of procedure, at least.
Problem though is like the skating, it doesn't mean all that much because if he's gonna get a surgery, mm-hmm. like none of this matters because he'll have to rehab. Like,
right,
it's like where if you tear your ACL after the surgery, you have to like go through all this stuff just to get back to running again.
That was
like, the surgery. Clears the structural damage, but like you still like you're like kind of like resetting what you like takes away like all the like a lot of the progress that he's made right now mm-hmm. before surgery. Like he would have to kind of go through all that again.
Yeah, and that's kind of why I think his team is pushing for the artificial disc replacement surgery. Like it's part of the reason, probably a much smaller reason than, you know, the long-term effects, but on the short term, what's being described with the ACD surgery, or the ADR surgery is that, what did I just say? Did I just say the ACDC surgery? Did that just come out of my mouth or I was started to ACD? I almost did. The ADR surgery is that it's a 6 to 8 week timetable for return to the ice, which, what does that mean? He has surgery tomorrow and then it's 6 to 8 weeks of rehab, like you're saying. And then whereas the fusion surgery, because that takes longer to heal and to make sure that the screws are working and everything, that's like a 3 to 4 month timetable for return. But again, same thing. He'd have surgery tomorrow and then it's 3-4 months of rehab. So, right. He's skating now, but the moment he has a procedure, he's not on the ice for a while. RockAuto.com, a family business serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to RockAuto.com to shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. They got everything from engine control modules and brake parts to tail lamps, motor oil, and even new carpet. Whether it's for your classic or daily driver, get everything you need in a few easy clicks delivered directly to your door. The RockAuto.com catalog is unique, remarkably easy to navigate, quickly see all the parts available for your vehicle, and choose the brands, specifications, and prices you prefer. Best of all, prices at rockauto.com are always reliably low, and the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now, see all the parts available for your car or truck, write Locked On in their How Did You Hear About Us box so they know we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. If you have not tried a Built Bar yet, I strongly encourage you to do so as somebody that did not eat protein bars because of the taste. And as somebody, am I a candy snob? Am I an aficionado? I don't know. I eat a lot, not as much anymore. Growing up, a lot of candy bars. And I'm telling you, Built Bar is a candy bar. It's not. It tastes like one, though. You have 18 amazing flavors to pick from, including 6 new flavors: caramel brownie, cookies and cream, cherry barcia, lemon almond cheesecake, carrot cake, and apple almond crisp. If you go for the coconut almond puff flavor, that is my favorite. And I'm not even a coconut guy, but it's like eating a Mallow cup. That's how good it is. Built Bars are also great for the healthy conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. They're low calorie, low sugar, high protein, high fiber, and great for keto diets. For example, the peanut butter flavor, 19 grams of protein, 180 calories, only 5 grams of sugar, and only 5 grams net carbs. Go to BuiltBar.com and use the promo code LOCKED15, and you will get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. A word for BetOnline, the fastest, easiest way to bet on all your sports action. Football might be over, but you got the NBA, college hoops, the NHL, all in full swing. BetOnline even covers awards, TV shows, and reality TV. Real-time updated odds and props on almost anything you can imagine. For these Sabre games, you could bet on the exact amount of which either the Sabres or their opponent will win by. So if you think the Sabres are going to win by exactly 2, you can find odds for the Sabres winning by exactly 2. BetOnline has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds, the best way to place your bets, and it is free to sign up. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today and receive your 50% welcome bonus on your first deposit. BetOnline.ag is the site. BetOnline, your online sportsbooks experts. Remember to use the promo code Locked On. And then the other thing that happened to Eichel on Friday was he's back on Twitter. He was formerly at JackEichel11 on Twitter, and he went away for a while. He wasn't one to use it that much in the first place. He's back as at JackEichel, and he had a blue check mark. So I saw it, I think, last night or this morning, and I'm like, oh, Jack Eichel's back on Twitter. And then John Vogel of The Athletic, not to his own fault in any way, he was told by Eichel's agents, well, that's not Jack. Well, okay, so my mind immediately jumped to, really, Twitter, with all your messed up verified stuff, you can't give Nate Geary a blue check mark, but you're giving this fake Jack Eichel account one? But then we come to find out it actually is Jack Eichel, because Jack tweets, and like, I've always liked Jack for this. Like, hockey players can be so dull and so just like no personality at all. And Jack's always given you a little bit, at least. And he tweeted at John Vogel, sources have confirmed this is not a fake account. Source being me, Jack. So it is him. I don't know.
I could type that.
Right. But then Vogel did walk it back and say, okay, now his agent's saying it is Jack. So maybe his agent just didn't know he had joined Twitter again. Did you see, by the way, he's following one account. Did you see what it is?
Sabres.
No. The NHL.
Oh.
Doesn't want to be controversial in any way. Doesn't want to go, okay, oh, look, he's following all of these accounts, but he's not following the Sabres. He's following the Ducks, but he's not following the Sabres. Now the Sabres are following him. Should I take that to mean anything or no?
No.
No, nothing?
No. Yeah.
Sure.
But should we read into that he didn't give him the follow back?
Well, this is why I want to be a logical fan going into the weekend with this. I want to believe that Eichel I want to believe the relationship can be resolved. And all I have to work with right now is Eichel doesn't hate the organization enough to where he wouldn't put the practice jersey on, and the Sabres don't hate him enough to where they wouldn't follow him on Twitter. That's what I got.
I think they should slide into each other's DMs and repair the relationship.
That's how they would do it.
Just Jack Eichel and the Sabres team account manager.
Does Terry Pegula have access to the Sabres Twitter account, you think?
No.
No? There's 0% chance?
No. I don't think he uses Twitter.
Who's the highest up person in the organization that would be able to go on their phone and get into the Sabres Twitter account? Only PR
like,
people?
Just have that like available, like readily available.
Right.
Like I'm sure that they like ask for the password. Are you saying who like legitimately has the account on the phone?
Could Kevin Adams go into his phone right now and tweet from the Sabres account?
My guess is it's whoever like the president or VP of communications is.
Well, remember,
I don't think anybody higher than that would have access to it.
Kevin Adams used to be VP of business relations.
I don't know.
On the business side.
I don't know if that's the same.
Also, last thing on Eichel today, again, playful here. He did respond to a Rangers fan on Twitter and in DMs. The Rangers fan at 10NYR5 DM Jack, "Hey Jack, LOL." And then Eichel responded with "Yo." And then the Ranger fan responded "NYR." And that was it. Eichel never responded to that.
What did Jack expect this guy to say?
Yeah, I
like,
know.
Did he expect him to have like did he expect to have this profound conversation with 10NYR5?
They were gonna talk about cryptocurrencies for a while. This is what he thought he was gonna get out of that.
For Brian Leach's career.
Yeah, I did. You know what? I should mention it here while we're on the Rangers and then we'll wrap. I didn't want to mention it because it was annoying to me and I'm sick of the Rangers. But Steven Valiquette of the New York Rangers, former Rangers goaltender who used to wear a Spider-Man mask, by the way, if you're wondering about this reference, used to wear a Spider-Man mask. And he tweeted on Friday morning, "My Spidey senses are tingling. Eichel, hashtag NYR." So
that's a player.
He's a former player that now works for MSG for the Rangers broadcast.
Oh,
he said, "My Spidey senses are tingling. Eichel, hashtag NYR."
Oh my God. Yeah, he's like, he sounds like, who's the Bruins guy that everybody doesn't like?
Jack Edwards.
Yeah. This guy is just like a fanboy broadcast guy. I'm like the Sabres great professionals that never are biased.
would you do Capo Caco in 2 firsts for Jack Eichel right now?
I want Lafreniere, man. If I'm going to trade with them, I want Lafreniere.
I would almost do Lafreniere straight up at this point.
Yeah.
One for one. I'm looking for quality. I know I'm losing.
I know. I just want a star caliber youngster. Like, I'm good with that too.
I think he's that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I agree. Like, I thought he was good. Like, last year, I don't think he was like amazing, but like thought he was good.
He was on like a 20 goal pace.
I think he would be a great player to add for sure. One of the best that you could get would be.
I also just don't want to see Eichel on the Rangers, but that's just me.
Oh yeah. Well, they're one of like the Sabres and Rangers. Like I've never had like that much beef with the Rangers.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, like they're just they've been annoying. Their fans are the worst.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they're right. Like they are the worst.
They are the worst. Like
they're the pit of the NHL.
them and Boston are just like my two. Like they just make me like sick.
And on that we wrap. Rangers and Bruins fans make us sick. I don't anticipate we're gonna have
ridiculous trade offers.
They're the worst.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. Rangers even more so than the Bruins ones. At least the Bruins are giving you like.
Oh yeah. Well, the Bruins I think are a little bit more logical. Are they? Like, I don't know. Like I think Rangers fans are like they like think the Rangers are like the Yankees, but like.
You're not. You're the Knicks.
You've won what like twice.
You're the Knicks.
Yeah, they're like bad.
They're owned by James Dolan. They're literally the Knicks.
All right. Yeah, that nice Mike Richter run or whatever. I don't know.
That was once. Yeah.
Vancouver. Vancouver.
All right. Anything to end on here? Anything left to say? You think we pretty much covered everything on a slow Friday here, probably.
Yeah. Talking hockey in August is tough.
Yeah. But we did it. We did it.
We did it.
We got
a lot of jokes.
Yeah. We got some
farming simulators.
Farming Simulator talking, and yeah, we'll have some more creative content coming your way, I promise, in the coming weeks, as this was really probably the last like Eichel newsy show, and it was mostly Twitter stuff. So yeah, we'll get into some more creative stuff, and that top 75 player poll is going to be coming out soon from Locked On NHL. So we'll talk about that and kind of our process in doing that, some league wide stuff. But that's going to do it. I'm on Twitter at Sneaky Joe Sports. Jordan is at JR Hanskin. This has been the Locked On Sabres podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.